Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're in 2019. Think of all the things that we can do with our advanced technology. I mean, every single sector of life is getting better, we're told at least, because of technological advancements. And it baffles me that in 2019 that there isn't already a way to, okay, we got a baseball game on Friday and we got a football game on Sunday, to make that field all grass by Sunday. I'm surprised somebody hasn't come up with a way to effectively do that.
I remember they had this guy years ago who, I wish I could remember his name. His name is something Eastern European, like George Skoda or something. And he was supposed to be the genius behind groundskeeping in the NFL.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
And he would have a piece of wheat in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember,
he's from Kansas City, isn't he?
I don't know. I just remember was the 1998 playoff game, Packers-Niners at Candlestick. And we had El Nino. I remember it rained every day for a month. I believe September of that month. It rained. I remember because my house in Oakland was flooding. And every time I saw it rain, I panicked. But it rained every day. So they brought this guy out. And they showed him during the playoff game standing there kind of looking wistfully, kind of like Al Gore in that documentary, like looking out the window and just kind of saying, get a shot of me looking like I'm being poignant, you know? And so they kept showing him. I remember it's funny. I talked to some of the Candlestick groundskeepers like the next year and they go, that guy didn't do anything. He just, we
George Toma.
Toma. Yeah. What'd I say? George Skoda. I was close.
What is your address there?
Actually, the Skoda was
George Toma.
The Skoda, I think, is a car that was made by the Czechoslovakians back in the day. Look up Skoda. I think it's there. Let me know when we're back from break. But they were like, they told me, they go, that guy didn't do anything. Because they go, what a load of horse ass.
He sure made himself a cottage industry.
Oh, wow,
I mean, anytime you needed somebody to speak up on groundskeeping stuff, that's
well, that's like Clay Wood.
He was the Marquis de Sade. That was one of his nicknames.
Really?
Yeah.
He invented sadism? I didn't know that. And then Clay Wood at the Coliseum. A lot of people, look, it is amazing how they can turn that place from a football field to a baseball field overnight.
Yeah.
It is. And they used to do the old baseball configuration where the football field was, one end zone was at home plate, and then it would go straight up through center field. Now they'll still go foul pole to foul pole. But I will say this, because I was there a couple of years ago, there was a rain out with no rain.
Right.
That's because he didn't put the tarps on the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually, think about it, Eric Sogard nerd glass night. So everybody got the sort of Raj from What's Happening frames with no glasses in them.
Right.
Everybody was going to be a nerd. And I thought about the irony of on nerd night, we were going to have a rain out with no rain. And I just remember there was a little like baby tractor bulldozer thing. What are those called? Cats or something? I don't know.
Hot Wheels?
I talk on the radio. What do I? Hot Wheel? It wasn't that little.
Okay.
But anyway, it started digging a little bit at shortstop, and I thought, we're not going to play. The players' union would not allow. I mean, they wouldn't even allow minor leaguers to play after this.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget, bright, sunny day. Dick Callahan. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry to announce today's game has been postponed. And our buddy Troy Clarity was doing pre and post, and they told Troy, okay, you have a 5-hour show. Go. And he's like, Rick, can you do a segment with me? I'm like, absolutely. I'll do a segment with you. But, you know, there's another guy who's like, oh, he can do no wrong. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he looked at his app, but he didn't put down the tarps the night before.
But you hear what I'm saying? I mean, why have they not come up with, like, there should be cutouts, you know, whatever size you need, maybe you need multiple, somewhere that you can keep healthy to when you need to convert your field from a baseball diamond to a football field, that you can easily go to the dirt part and put in wherever your cutouts are. It just seems like it's not that much to ask in 2019 to be able to have a seamless transition.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Uber Smitty said, I'm thinking of a bobcat. I said cat. Yes. It's my nickname for it.
Speaking of nicknames, by the way, somebody says that you're lying to me about your old nickname.
You're going to believe somebody on a text line? I would own any nickname I had. I would gladly own it. 916 says, Rick, you're correct. Skoda still makes cars, little things that barely move. Round Boy says, the round mound of rebound. Round Boy says, amen, we'll miss the infield.
I won't miss it at all.
925, get that crap talk about A's fans out of here. The Raiders completely trashed the Coliseum by building that giant piece of S in center field. I will forever hate the Raiders for that. And am incredibly glad they went for the money grab in Vegas.
Wow, that's quite a fan. I'm glad they're leaving.
They just had a recent episode. Ruby took Laureano actually up to Mount Davis because she said, where do you want to go? And he goes, the Mount Davis. I thought it was kind of funny.
Ruby?
Ruby Lopez. You know her? Mm-hmm. She's fantastic. She's one of the hosts along with Cara Subway. She does the Warriors with Franco Finn.
Gotcha.
Ruby Lopez is great. I think she's a San Leandro kid too. She's like born and raised. Great host. But she took Laureano up Mount Davis. Remember they had
Mount Davis.
They had a commercial for Mount Davis where Marcus Semien climbed it last year and he had an oxygen mask or something. And I remember
when ever open for fans?
Yeah, for the Giants series they opened it one game.
Okay, that's it though.
Yeah, and when it was opened, I went up there to look. And if you went all the way back, it would block out part of the field.
Isn't it like crazy steep?
It is steep. And then you're basically rooting for the black ants to kill the white ants because it's just jerseys.
Right.
But I remember filling out an application for a PSL, and the Raiders, when they announced they're moving back, had 100,000 applications. And they said, we need – and it was a panic. I remember the A's opened at Cashman Field. Remember the Ernie Young unassisted triple play? As they played at Cashman. Remember the YMCA break dancers, the rerun dancers with the hard hats? I thought those guys were workers. I found out later they were actually professional dancers. But they built it, and then no one bought the PSLs outside of me, my brother, and my dad. Larry in San Francisco, what's going on, man?
Larry, are you with us?
All right. That was Larry. We'll try Mo and Curly next. But he's
good job, Larry. There.
Yes.
Well done. Somebody's coming after you because you, this is according to the texter, constantly complain about Gary and Conley, but he was graded as a top-end corner last year. Tackling isn't his, and I learned this from you, and I don't know that I'll ever be able to work it. Tackling isn't his fort.
Right.
I always thought it was forte.
No.
My entire life.
No.
For 50 years plus of my life, I thought it was forte.
Yeah, but if you say fort, you sound pretentious like me, so just say fort. Just say forte, then people won't hate
you. And like... What's another word that you used that I thought was completely different?
Chagrin.
Oh, no.
Let me just tell you this, first of all, these ratings. When Al Davis overpaid Tommy Kelly.
Fate, F-E-T-E.
Oh, Fet?
Fet, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was Fate.
No, no one says that.
Okay.
Fate is what brought us together. when Al Davis gave Tommy Kelly too much money, and then he gave Stanford Rout too much money. And if you ever watched Stanford Rout play corner, you knew that he was beyond pathetic. But people came to me with these new age stats. Well, Rick, if you actually look at his QL221 UZR WAR, he's actually rated pretty high. I'm like, why don't you just watch the games? Yeah, man, use your eyes on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Irvin and Tittle.
Thank you so much, and welcome back to 95.7 The Game. A little tribute to the late, great Eddie Money there, Herbs.
Did anyone look more strange, like when he's in the middle of a chorus, he's totally getting it, his eyes are all bugged out. He's a weird-looking dude when he performed. Him and Joe Cocker are the two, most I don't know. I liked watching him, but it made me uncomfortable, too, because Eddie Money always looked like he was on the brink of, like, losing control of himself. Maybe that was his genius.
Eddie Money kind of looked like a stand-up comedian to me a little bit. But Joe Cocker had these constricted gesticulations. I mean, he was...
And Eddie Money's were all in his face. Like, Joe Cocker, it was a full body. With Eddie Money, it was just his facial expressions.
All right, let's talk some sports.
Nah.
Lindsay Patterson is with us. She is the Bengals reporter for the Inquirer in the Queen City and host of the Bengals Beat podcast on Apple. Lindsay, thanks for joining the show. Rick Tittle and Michael Urban with you here at 95.7 The Game, the flagship of the Raiders and the Warriors. We cover the Niners and the Giants, the Sharks. We do it all out here. And I want to know the vibe after 16 years of the Brown family's relationship with Marvin Lewis, zero playoff wins, and now you got this new coach, and Dalton throws for 418 yards, and you almost beat a good Seattle team in Seattle. Are the fans going to start coming back, you think?
I think that was the biggest thing with the change with Marvin Lewis last year, is fans weren't coming to games, and that speaks volumes for ownership. They want people coming to games. Other people don't come because of expenses, and, you know, some people just would rather watch it at home, but no, fans were trying to make a statement at Paul Brown Stadium last year and not come to Bengals games, and I think a lot of people were surprised with the outcome in Seattle. It was positive, and I know there's really no moral victories, but that's what it felt like offensively and defensively after falling by one, and surprising falling by one in the opener in Seattle.
In week one, we saw the Bengals give up a number of explosive passing plays. I know that their safety, was it Bates is his last name, I believe?
Yep, Jesse Bates.
Oh, Jesse Bates, yeah. And I know that he's known to be a gambler. Do you think that's something that Kyle Shanahan's going to try to take advantage of?
Oh, 100%. And defensively, when you look at the secondary, some of the negatives for the Bengals last week was just in the secondary alone and giving up plays. And I think that's something that we're definitely going to see with the 49ers team against Cincinnati. When you look at the other way around, though, with San Francisco's secondary last week, they had a pick six party. So it's going to be interesting what they do with Cincinnati.
Well, you think about Cincinnati's defense last year. I mean, they were almost like the Chiefs. They were horrible. But, I mean, you go through three coordinators in two seasons. The guy now, Lou Anarumo, after week one, I mean, you hold the Seahawks to less than 250 total yards, only 12 first downs. So far, so good with the new DC, huh?
Yeah, you know what's really surprising about that? And yeah, they have Jermaine Pratt, who's a rookie out there and will be on the linebacker room. They have the same exact unit they pretty much had in 2018, which is really disappointing for some Bengals fans, because one of the strengths positioned for this team right now is their defensive line. Even Sam Hubbard in his second year, he had 10 tackles last week, and I think that pressure finally getting the quarterbacks will be something different that Lou is really bringing defensively with this team.
Offensively, the Bengals averaged 6.1 yards per play against Seattle in week one. Is that something you expect to continue, that prolific of an offense?
Yeah, one thing about Zach Taylor, and I know how people felt when they announced Zach Taylor as the new coach. Is he another Sean McVay, an offensive mind? He was a quarterback coach over there, and when he came here, he said, I want to call the plays. So that's definitely something different. Marvin Lewis didn't do that because he was a defensive mind. He wasn't out there calling plays offensively, and I think that just helps elevate Andy Dalton's play out there. And you don't want him to throw for 418 yards every game. They definitely couldn't get the run game going. They're hoping that Joe Mixon can go out there. He was limited through the walkthrough yesterday. So I think that's their biggest thing, that they want to balance the ball out. They're doing it all right now without their top receiver in A.J. Green.
You know what I think is funny, Lindsay, and with just about every team, if the starting quarterback goes down, it's over. And so they went out and they got Ryan Finley from NC State to back up Andy Dalton. But the third stringer, Jake Dolagala, Central Connecticut. And I thought Jeff Driscoll would get it, a guy the Niners know. But Driscoll started playing wide receiver. What was going on in camp? That seems kind of wild.
Well, you know what's really crazy is Ryan Finley, and he'd be the first to admit, his first couple weeks in training camp was pretty bad. And a lot of people thought, oh, he's definitely not making the team. They didn't even think about Dolagala. They more thought Jeff Driscoll would be the backup quarterback and it was his job to lose. But as preseason went on, Ryan Finley put on a show out there. And a little surprising for a lot of Bengals fans is they kept three quarterbacks on the 53-man roster. But I think that's more telling because they thought if they left one on the practice squad, he'd be gone.
Yeah, and the Niners did the same thing. They started with three quarterbacks. Now, we just asked you about the 6.1 yards per play. for the Bengals offense last week. They were still 0-for-3 in the red zone. That's also an area of concern for the Niners, although the Niners had a couple of touchdowns in the red zone that were called back. Is this an ongoing problem for the Bengals? Is this something that's, you know, a top priority to get fixed?
Oh, 100%. And that's what Zach Taylor said after the game. He pointed 0-for-3 in the red zone, and that was a big issue for them. They're hoping to use John Ross more, and he was one of their weapons last year until he got injured in 2018 in the red zone. Also, Tyler Eifert, he only had 27 yards. He was more of a blocking tight end last week in Seattle, but he's more of their red zone threat. So I think they're going to probably try to use him more at home at Paul Brown Stadium on Sunday in the red zone.
You know, it's funny when you think about Andy Dalton throwing for a career-high 418 yards, you'd probably think, geez, I bet 200 of it is A.J. Green, but he didn't play. He's not going to play this week. When are they going to get A.J. back?
Well, A.J. Green finally talked to the media, and he was one of those guys who was like, I'm not talking until I'm out of the boot. And he actually talked to us on Wednesday. He was expected to be back for week 3 or week 4, which would be next week, the Bills, or they're shooting for Monday Night Football, which gives him an extra day versus Pittsburgh. He's out of the boot. He started to run. He's on the rehab field. So all signs are pointing that he should be back for week 4 for the team.
Do you feel like there's been an identity established for these Bengals team?
I think offensively and defensively, that was the biggest thing from last year, is I felt they lost it. They still had the talent on the roster, but they definitely went through injuries. Nobody used it as an excuse. But by the end of the season, when you have 16 guys who are sitting out due to injury and your tight end room is blown up, and as far as anything offensively and defensively, the momentum was really low. I think that's what they're trying to get right now, because you have Zach Taylor out there, who is an offensive mind. Even A.J. Green, who was on the sidelines in Seattle, goes, I've never seen anything like what Zach Taylor's doing offensively. And I think that's what this team needs. They have the talent. Their offensive line is a little below average, and it has been for about 2 to 3 years. That's the biggest concern right now. And that's where San Francisco can really take advantage on the defensive line.
Tittle and Herbs with Lindsey Patterson of the Cincinnati Inquirer. A couple more questions for the Bengals reporter. The Bengals on the ground didn't get a lot done. What, 34 yards, and Joe Mixon sprained his ankle. So I'm looking at Giovanni Bernard, who was, you know, once a highly paid starter. He's going to be the guy now?
At the moment, he is expected to be the guy while Joe Mixon was sidelined. But the good news for Bengals fans, because they want Joe Mixon out there, he actually left in the second half against Seattle because of an ankle sprain. He didn't practice all week, but he's one of those guys that every team has him in the NFL. You don't have to practice a week, but on game day, if you're ready to go, you're ready to go. He did go through walkthrough for the team on Friday, so I am expecting Joe Mixon to play, but it might be a late light load. They did get the return of Trevion Williams, who was definitely a highlight guy in preseason, but he was injured, so they sent him out the rest of preseason. He came back to practice, so they have actually a 3 running back weapon out there with Gio Bernard, Joe Mixon, Trevion Williams, and I expect them to spread it around in the air too.
What's the overall feeling in Cincinnati about Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, you can't have a conversation in the Bay Area about the 49ers without that name coming up. So we tend to think, oh, this is a big deal everywhere. Are the Bengals putting a whole lot of thought into, gee, how do we shut down Jimmy Garoppolo? Because there are some people that say, well, he hasn't proven enough to merit that type of attention.
Yeah, I think when Bengals fans looked at the schedule, you thought, well, Jimmy's coming back from his injury from last year. And I know he was getting criticized a little bit after his week one performance, even after pulling off the win. But I think defensively, that's where the team has struggled in the past. I know I mentioned it before. I feel like their defensive line is one of their strengths this year, and they have a lot of depth there. So I think when they circle the calendar and they look, they're facing Jimmy, I think the defensive line just let us get to the quarterback.
You know, I think it's funny that the Niners stayed in Youngstown, Ohio, which, of course, is, you know, not next door to Cincinnati. But was there kind of a feeling of the enemy is at the gate? You know, they're just right down there, down the freeway?
No, not at all. Actually, Cincinnati used to do that a lot. When they were traveling to the West Coast, they would leave on a Friday. I know that they were Youngstown a little longer than Friday, but they would try to get used to that West Coast timing and kickoff. So, and I talked to one of the San Francisco beat writers earlier this week, Cam Inman, and he pretty much told me, he's like, they've done this before, and it's been good history for the Niners when they're practicing in Youngstown.
Is there anything about the Bengals that Bay Area fans are probably ignoring, something that only the insiders would know, and like perhaps, okay, this might be the week that X busts out or Y busts out? Who might X and Y be for the insiders?
I think right now you still look at the secondary as concern. Darquez Leonard has been on the sideline, and they struggled last week. I mean, Drake he's a veteran out there, and he gets a play that ends up helping Seattle get the lead in the game just by a silly penalty. So I think as far as their secondary, that would be one of the concerns at the moment. There are a few things that they can fix. And I think what's really interesting is John Ross, a guy who was trying to get his confidence back after Marvin Lewis left, and he's getting that. He actually admitted that after week one. He had some drops. He did find the end zone twice. So I think seeing John Ross in week two, we'll see for insiders alone. I think fans they're excited about it, but he's been called a bust and all kinds of different names. But I think just seeing him back out there will be interesting as the season goes on when he does get those opportunities with Tyler Boyd out there getting double coverage.
As Andy Dalton and A.J. Green are the faces of the offense, there's no doubt that Geno Atkins is the face of that defense. One of the best fourth-round picks of all time. I mean, he was the 12th tackle taken in that draft, a fourth-round pick, and you're looking at seven Pro Bowls. It's hard to believe he's in his 10th year right now, but he is the leader of that defense, which has some guys on it. I don't want to call them no names, but he's got some youngsters on that defense. Is it kind of weird that Geno's like the OG now, and I feel like the guy just got drafted?
Yeah, Geno is a monster out there. When you have Geno, Carlos Dunlap, Sam Hubbard, as we mentioned, had 10 tackles last week. And Carl Lawson, a guy who ended up tearing his ACL last year, and he had a great rookie season back in 2017 and looking like a monster in training camp so far. And then he picked a little bit out there last week, but they're slowly bringing him back into the defense. But Geno Atkins, what's so funny about him is he's a monster on the field. He is so quiet in the locker room. He rarely talks to us, not because he's a jerk or anything like that, but he just doesn't have much to say. He lets his play speak for him.
And finally, I remember on Hard Knocks with the Bengals, you saw how Mike Brown, it seemed like such a mom-and-pop shop, and his daughter did all the contracts. They're really kind of a throwback family-run business, aren't they?
Yeah, one thing about Katie Blackburn is the Bengals don't have a GM, and they've been criticized in the past because they don't have a GM, but I feel like Katie Blackburn and Troy Blackburn play the role as a GM. And even Duke Tobin, who's an underrated guy on their staff, and other teams have wanted him in the past to play that GM role. But she does. She gets a lot of the contracts done. And one thing that the Bengals do with contracts is the guys get paid, but they're good for the team and the player. They're not out there overpaying guys. They're making smart decisions when it comes to contracts. And I definitely think Katie is one of the female models where you don't see in a lot of NFL executive offices for other NFL teams, and she gets it done. But she's another one of those people who she doesn't want the credit. She does it all behind the scenes, and she'd rather not flaunt it or anything like that.
Well, she knows more about football than most people in the NFL with all her experience. We've been speaking with Lindsay Patterson, reporter for The Inquirer back there in Cincinnati, host of the Bengals Beat podcast. You can get it on iTunes. And if you want to follow her on Twitter, it's at Linz Patterson. That's LNDS Patterson. Lindsay, thanks for your time and your insights. Have fun at the game, and hopefully we'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks, Lindsay.
That sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right, your calls, lines are open wherever you're listening at 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. It's kind of interesting, Mike, when you think about a family-run business. When Wally Haas bought the A's and saved them from being sold to Marvin Davis in Denver, they actually, he put his son-in-law, Roy Eisenhart, as the president of the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like what he did with his son, Mike Brown does with Blackburn.
Right.
And then Roy Eisenhart said, there's a guy at my law firm that wants to work here too.
Is that Carmen?
Sandy Alderson.
Oh, no.
That's how he got his start.
So how are the family dynamics for the Niners and their leadership? Because there was a time when we felt like it was the Yorks that were killing the drill. Once they kind of, I'm talking about the Yorks, the elder, the parents, they give it to Jed, and it seemed like, okay, that was the last we're ever going to hear from the parents. And I heard late last season, I think it might've been at the end of the year, but both of the parents kind of got interviewed about it, and they, you know, seemed to be going out of their way to say, no, this is Jed's deal. I still think once anybody is involved at a familial level, it's impossible to just back away completely and say hands off, right?
It's a weird thing because this wasn't one of those Donald Sterling situations where you have to sell this to somebody else, right? Or Jerry Richardson, you have to sell this because of the sexual thing in Carolina. It was that Louisiana riverboat gambling scheme with, I think it was the former governor.
Yeah, it was.
And Eddie was able to give it to his sister.
There was mob whispers around that whole thing too, right?
I didn't hear anything.
Okay.
Joey Bananas. So they
call him Whispers.
He gives it to his sister, and Denise and John, remember they do, they get Mike Nolan and they go, "You run it. Your dad was our coach. You make all the decisions. He made one really good one in drafting Patrick Willis." But you think about the salary cap hell that Carmen and the late great Dwight Clark got them all into.
Mm-hmm.
And the getting Mooch from Cal. I mean, they went through a lot of Dennis Erickson. I mean, geez Louise. And then when Jed was given control of the team, they're still owned by his mom, obviously.
Right.
And he was front and center, you know, and this is a guy, Notre Dame educated, great businessman. But and then he finally figured through some very embarrassing situations, making a tweet on that Thanksgiving game.
Yeah.
"I'm humiliated. The reports of Jim Harbaugh said, get out of here. This meeting is for men." You know, you imagine talking to your boss like that.
Man.
So win with class, Jim Tom Sula, finally figuring out, you know, hold me accountable. Going on the, you know, being shredded on their own radio station,
right,
by their hosts. It's just, he'd finally decided, I need to take a step back and let a football person do this.
Right.
And he looked at Guten Kunst, which means good art in German. That was the guy in Green Bay, remember? Can they hire Guten Kunst? And then John Lynch is like, whoa, I'll do it. You? You're not a GM.
I got a great jawline.
He's like, I've been hanging around Elway.
To Stanford.
I can do this.
Sure.
Yeah, and I give him credit.
And for what they ask him to do? Has he done a bad job?
Well,
because you can't blame any of the draft swings and misses on him, right? Because we hear that Kyle has the ultimate veto.
Well,
so
I don't know.
How
Kevin
does that
Jones.
Work? Is he ever going to get credit for doing anything well, Lynch?
Does Kyle have the – well, it's a weird thing where you get a coach and then you get a GM. Because
right.
Usually you're the GM and then you get a coach.
But – wouldn't you agree with me? They've gone out of their way to say, look, push comes to shove, this is Kyle's deal.
Well, we did hear right after the draft rumblings, and we don't know if they were rumbling, bumbling, stumblings, or if they were ball-faced lies. But look, grown-ups, especially in a high-pressure situation like professional sports, which is results-oriented, they're not going to see eye-to-eye all the time.
Right.
There's just friction. And there was something about Kyle made some sort of comment to the point where he shouldn't be scouting. You know, like, why am I scouting? I'm a coach.
Right.
And then you get a punter drafted in the fourth round when you're the second worst team in football. I hope that guy Wisnowski goes to the Hall of Fame. I do. But what I would have done if I was the second worst team in football, I would have drafted an All-American defensive player is what I would have done. And I don't care if he was an All-American from the SEC, Pac-12, ACC,
right.
Big 10, Big 12. I don't care. Mac. Just give me an All-American defensive player. I'll worry about punting later.
Yeah, I don't care what league it was in. If you're an All-American, you're an All-American. By the way, somebody suggested that I don't have the slightest idea about how landscaping works.
Landscaping?
Guilty as charged. I think that goes back to our George Toma.
Oh.
And saying, why can't you just have this, you know, designated patch of live grass, keep it alive somehow? How do they do that in Arizona? Because that was one of the, like, technological marvels of that stadium is that you could have in a dome stadium, they figured out a way to make sure that there's live grass all the time. And it's because they have like a sliding thing that slides out of the stadium to, mm-hmm. to put the real grass in the sun.
Mm-hmm. That was actually invented. I think it was either FC Twente or Vitesse Arnhem in the Dutch soccer league. And the guy was looking at a matchbox
mm-hmm.
and he slid and he goes, we could take a field and slide it out so the sun could heat it up.
Are you pulling my leg right now?
No. And then slide it back in. And like Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in North London where the NFL plays, it's like, we don't need to paint it. We'll just slide the NFL field and then the soccer pitch in it.
See? Why can't they do that here?
Chilton Autobody text line 95795. 510-YAY, Fort. Thank God someone knows the correct pronunciation of Fort. Thank you. Love from a former English major, Dr. Max Doodle. But remember what Norm MacDonald said. No one likes the smart guy. 408 said, Rick, I think I saw you in Moneyball. You were the guy who said we should not draft that prospect because he had an ugly girlfriend, right? Yeah, that was me. That was a 90-year-old scout. But I get the inference. Remember, you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Mm-hmm.
When Larry David was going to hire, I think it was a financial guy, and he had a beautiful wife, and he goes, I can't hire you. Why? He goes, because you're superficial. You have a beautiful wife. And then he hired another guy, but then he let it slip that he hired him because his wife was unattractive. And then that guy hated him. It was actually Janice on The Sopranos.
Gotcha. Wow.
That's who was playing the wife.
So do you have episodic knowledge of Curb Your Enthusiasm? You're that big of a fan?
Well, if I ever go on a plane, this is the thing you do now. If you have like Amazon or Netflix, and I recommend this because I didn't even know I could do this until a couple of years ago. Just download like 3 seasons of Curb.
Mm-hmm.
That'll get you through some bumpy flights.
Be where you need to be.
Exactly. Just watch it on your phone.
There's one other text that I had to... someone asked... I don't know why they're asking you all these questions and I'm not involved, but...
You're offended again.
Hi, Rick. Could you please inform me what guru is the guru of? I've yet to have him respond.
Well, I can answer that.
So can I. Go ahead, though.
Well, he used to call Pete Franklin all the time. Flush this clown! And anyway, he started spouting off some knowledge and then Pete Franklin said, what are you, some sort of guru? So he just started calling up saying guru. Yeah.
So he's a guru of all things.
He was guru before he was on the air.
Right.
And it's funny, there was an article written on Barrett Sports Media and I think an iHeartRadio reporter about how Guru got his start. And it's funny, that night at the Englander in San Leandro, I went to watch it. And where they took a picture, I have this picture. I'm standing there with Drew Hoffer and John Lund. We were all watching that night. It seems like yesterday. What was that, 2011, 2012?
Yeah, I think so. 11.
Was it 11? I think it was 12. Whatever. But he's the guru because he's the man.
I mean, think about it.
If you have to ask, then you don't get it.
Right, but one thing that I've heard some people, I've been on shows with Guru and the people, I mean, there's always going to be negativity in this medium and people would say, well, how can he call himself the Guru? Blah, blah, blah. Well, first off, he doesn't call himself the Guru. Pete Franklin, a pretty hugely respected name in this business, gave him the Guru. But when Guru is on the air, it's almost impossible to not be smiling when you're in the room with Guru when you're doing a show. He's just got that kind of energy. And so I would imagine, even when I'm listening to him on the radio, like driving around in the middle of the day, and I'm listening to him and Bonte and Steinmetz, and I hear Guru's voice, I just start smiling. And the fact that I know where he came from, and he doesn't shy away from the fact that he is a contest winner. Okay, what did you win in that contest? You won a 2-hour show on Sundays for a year, right? That's all you got. This was how many years ago? 8 years ago? 9 years ago? And here he is, basically probably the most popular personality at this station. Would you agree with that?
Well, he does pre and post for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
I need a mimosa.
Chilton, by text line 95795. I actually like this one from the 925. I don't know what anybody at 95.7 looks like, and I know I could just check Twitter, but I would like to maintain the illusion of what I think you all look like. Now, here's the funny thing. That's the way radio was from the time Marconi invented it until about 10 years ago.
Okay, but doesn't this make you want to have an exchange with this texter and say, okay, Dan Dibley, go.
Well, one guy wrote to me one time. He says, I just looked at your picture. I always thought you were bald. I don't know. I guess I sound bald.
Wow.
To him, anyway. How do you sound bald? Well, you know what? We'll ask Rich. Rich, stay on hold. Lines are open. This next segment is all y'all's and your calls, so get in the queue. We'll talk to you. 888-957-9570. And we can guess, what does Michael Urban look like on the Chilton Autobody text line? 957-95. Come on back, 95.7 again.
Now back to Urban and Tittle.
Enjoying this Eddie Money, aren't you?
Oh, wait, we're on the air.
Yeah, we are. Welcome back, Rick.
Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Yeah, Eddie Money passed away in Los Angeles yesterday at the age of 70. And it's funny because Eddie Money had claimed that he was a New York cop And it's funny, the New York Police Department came out today and said Eddie Money served in the capacity of a police trainee. He was never appointed to the rank of police officer. The NYPD offers their condolences to his family. God, that's some cold stuff, isn't
it? Super important to point that out in the immediate aftermath of his death. Let's get this cleared up. He was never formally associated with us, but rest in peace.
I know, it's like, well, he's
so weak.
Well, I'm sure after he died, people have said, yeah, you know, he was a New York cop. And no, he wasn't.
Right.
You got to earn this badge.
Oh, jeez.
Just let, what does it hurt at this point? It's not like, who was the guy in Notre Dame? George, that
the resume thing?
And then he went to Georgia Tech.
He had the job for like a day before they found him out.
He said he was a four-year letterman at New Hampshire. He never played football. And then he said he had a master's degree, and he didn't have that either.
He's basically everything that was on his resume was a
Wally Backman with the Diamondbacks, remember?
Yeah, what was that about?
He got fired.
For what, though?
He lied on his resume.
But how does, I mean, the guy played in the big leagues. Why would he lie on your resume? I played in the big leagues, ergo, I can manage in the big leagues.
You ever see the YouTubes of him melting down as a minor league manager?
No,
calling out the announcers?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, how so? What do you mean, call, like in the post game?
Just going up to the, like he threw all the bats in the field and the announcers like, this is a, you know, a disgrace. And it's usually, you know, like a kid in his 20s.
Yeah.
And going up to the booth, like, how about I kick your A? You know, I mean, just.
How did he know that they were saying it was a disgrace if he's down throwing bats on the field?
Maybe he heard it. I don't know. But it's, you should see him lose it. It's scary, Wally Backman.
You ever seen any of the clips of Mad Bum losing it during minor league games? He had a couple epic snaps.
No, I saw him pitch for San Jose once, but he didn't lose it that night.
He lost it once to the point where, for whatever reason, I think some people have, I don't know if they did this to pay homage. Am I saying that right, Rick? Is homage correct?
It used to be homage, but now it's like we used to say a geisha girl, now it's a geisha girl. We used to say a chic, and now it's a shake. We used to say...
It's a shake.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You don't have a shake. I mean, you don't have a chic. You have a shake.
And I have a strawberry chic.
And you can go to Shake Shack.
Okay.
Somebody will be offended by that.
Surely. Somebody says that they already know. We had a texter saying a little bit earlier that they like that they don't know what any of us look like because it just allows them to have some fun. They could go find out for sure what we look like, but they prefer to let their imagination take over. Somebody says... I know what Urban looks like because I worked with him during the dot-com boom at Quokka Sports. Back then, he was a... This is a very nice way of saying he's a little bit overweight. Back then, he was a hearty linebacker-sized guy with a great sense of humor. I imagine he hasn't changed too much since then. I'd like to think I still have the same sense of humor, and now I'm not just a little bit overweight. I'm a lot overweight.
Well, it's funny. Now we say plus size. Remember when we were kids, what they called fat kids? Husky.
Yeah,
Husky boys. Chilled Not a Body text line, by the way, you can get in as well, 95795. The 415 says, if there's one thing about all the guys at the game, you have a face for radio.
Low-hanging fruit.
No, it's, I don't disagree. None of us are runway models. I'd like to see what this guy looks like.
Though. You and I both made somebody's top five at 95.7 the game.
Go with the top five.
Hmm?
What is it?
Number one, Guru. Number two, Herbs with a Z. Number three, Steiny. Four, Tittle. Five, JD. Honorable mention, Lo Neal. I miss this. Lo Neal made it finally past that one Hall of Fame barrier, right? He got nominated for it.
Yeah, I think they call it the semifinals, which is misleading because it's still a whole bunch of guys.
Like how many when you say bunch of guys?
What is it, about 15 or 20, Joe? Yeah.
So is Lo Neal not in the Hall of Fame because of a Ray Guy type of thing? Well, we for a while, punters weren't deemed Hall of Fame material and neither were fullbacks?
Well, it's funny how the fullback position for a lot of years, it got erased. You have these single back backfields, which always killed me.
Well, Franco Harris was a fullback, right? Listed
no,
as a
he,
fullback.
He was a tailback.
Well, but he was listed as a fullback.
No.
No?
No, Rocky Blyer was the fullback.
Okay.
But they had, and he always ran out of bounds anyway. It was a business decision.
Yes.
That's what we used to make fun of him. But to me, I can't think of drawing up a running play without a fullback. Because if you drop a scheme, this is all I did in college, Herbs, when I was done playing and I had an extra year and I was coaching, I would just drop X's and O's. You can drop as many plays as you want, but there's always going to be a linebacker standing there at the end of every running play. So what do? You need a fullback to clean that guy out.
Okay.
If you don't, unless he doesn't scrape and fill and there's no one there, Are you, because when you're trapping and all that, you're just taking care of linemen. Now, you can say, well, I'll free up this guy and he's going to get the linebacker. But I need a fullback, baby.
Right.
And all the years of a backfield with one tailback, and then he lines up 7 yards deep. I don't know. It just seems a bit fruitless to me, but the hell do I know?
All I know is, look, I didn't play football at the level that you played at. I don't know at the level that you know it at. But I do know when someone is kicking ass at their job. And every time I saw Lorenzo Neal, I remember he left an imprint on the game. And when I first started working with him here, I'm like, I wonder if this is – like the first day that I met him, I'm like, is that the same guy? I had to actually pull somebody aside. I go, is that the guy who used to be a fullback in the NFL? They're like, yeah. I'm like, damn, he's not that big. And he used to just go against beasts and beat the beasts. And now that he's finally getting his due, I don't know how you could say – any one position in any sport is less valuable than another one or not, you know, not eligible for the Hall of Fame. I mean, there should be multiple punters. I mean, why isn't Roby in the Hall of Fame? I mean, is that guy not like an iconic punter?
Especially that he didn't even take a step. He would just drop it down onto his shoelace.
Dude, and his hang time was like measured by days instead of seconds.
Reggie Roby with the Dolphins. Chilton Autobody text line 957-95530 says Herbs looks like Al Bundy ?
I'm glad it's with a question mark, because if it had been with a period, I would have just signed off and said I got to go work on myself.
956 says I know how Herbs looks with a perm and a neck brace.
If you go to at Big Herb Sports on Twitter and go to the media, then you will find me somewhere in there.
I took a picture with you with your neck brace because you were wearing like a skeleton outfit that day.
Yeah.
And that's when we thought Herbs he's off the reservation. He lost the plot.
Didn't somebody get in trouble for using that expression recently?
Oh, I guess I better throw that away, too.
Yeah, we better just shut that down, dump it. But yeah, you can find me with my 1986 perm. It was fantastic.
Did you need Soul Glow Activator?
See, that's what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be like the cool... I've told you this story before. My older brother got a perm, and it was perfect. It was like the surfer perm that I wanted, right? And I wanted to be like half surfer perm and half like he's cool with the brothers, right? So I'm going to put Soul Glow on it too.
Oh my gosh.
And it didn't work out in either area. Neither group wanted to take me on at all. They're like, no, he's not part of us. It was maybe the worst perm ever. And it's immortalized in my Twitter feed at Big Herb Sports. You're welcome.
It's funny. Remember that movie Blue Lagoon?
Yes.
See,
that's kind of what I was going for, and instead I got Little Orphan Annie somehow. I got what I paid for.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
Except it didn't come out the next day. What does this
mean?
Well,
that was Brooke Shields, and the name of the guy...
It doesn't matter.
Christopher Atkins. And even then I knew that perms... Well, I mean, if you have curly hair, have curly hair. But if you get an intentional perm on a white dude, it's horrible. I do remember in high school, though, I had to check my batting helmets for the ones that had Activator in them. Because if you put on one and it had like a whole gallon of Soul Glow in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that did not.
It's hard to get that out.
No, it was horrible.
Of course, we have a smart aleck follows up with Herbs looks like Al Bundy, period.
Oh, wow.
Just to, you know, take away the mystery of that question.
It's a different guy, too.
510, I tried to get my car painted or just rear panel painted at Chilton Autobody. What's this here?
Well, let's just leave that one.
Yeah.
It's somebody complaining. On the text line itself.
I've got great stuff. I can counter any. Let's just leave that there.
Well, I'll just say this. Every business is always going to have. Nobody's perfect.
I've used Chilton Autobody, and that's why I support them fully, because they did a great job on my car.
Oh, that's good.
How about that?
Yeah, was that your Hummer or your Bentley?
It was a Hummer, and I bought it from Alfonso Soriano. It was when he was playing for the Rangers.
Yeah.
And I think he got that from a dealership, and it may have been the gaudiest, most awful look at me. I'm a professional athlete car you've ever seen. I mean, the grill, is that what you call it? The grill in front?
Mm-hmm.
Don't
get in my grill.
It wasn't a grill. It was basically personalized, and it said S-O-R-I. Just because that was his nickname. Sure. Sorry.
That's like Canadian. I'm sorry. A boot that for sure.
Right. So he has that. And then he had his jersey number on both of the back panels. I mean, it was just I'm a Major League Baseball player. Please, please, please acknowledge that and look at me.
I was just joking. You actually did buy Alfonso Soriano's Hummer.
No, but I got a good look at it because we frequented the same night spot in Arlington.
All right, I want to get to this. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. Coming up this hour, the Michael Urban staple, good for ball, bad for ball. We should get that sponsored by Staples since it is a staple. We'll also get a little handoff with Stephen and Tommy. Mm-hmm. I think this is their fifth show, so they're more than a month in. That's Stephen Langford. Nice guy, Stephen. And Tommy Call, I've given him a nickname. I just went out, I looked at him, I said, here's your nickname, and he loves it. And his new nickname is Tommy Call Toll Free. So now you can call him that. Let's see if that sticks around.
I'm not sure I like that.
I know. It's a bit long.
They're asking what level of football did you play and where? Is that to me or to you?
Well, you made it sound kind of grandiose when you said, I didn't play the level. I played D2 in college. That's all. I never played on TV. I never played in a bowl game. Let us move on. The NBA, Herbs, is looking to crack down on tampering. Remember we had this.
This again?
We didn't talk about it on the air.
No, I'm not getting on you. I thought we dealt with the tampering in the NBA like 4 months ago.
Well, what happened was they decided that because when free agency began, this is a few years ago, the minute it began, and so if it was at midnight at 12:01 a.m., there would be a contract the size of a New York phone book that's all signed, all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed.
That probably took months to prepare.
Did you just do this? Yes.
In the past 25 seconds.
So it made them all look stupid.
Yeah.
So they decided, because I always say Adam Silver is the smartest of all our commissioners, he decided, okay, we need to get a 1 week of, let's just call it legal tampering. 1 week where you can say, hey, when you are a free agent, do you think you want to sign here? Because if you do, we can start working on that contract.
Stupid. And then,
well, at least they wouldn't look so dumb, because then it's like, I swear, we just
called
them.
What could
be
dumber than saying, let's have a week of legal tampering?
The other way, when you pretended there was no tampering, when there obviously was.
Okay.
So we've seen Magic Johnson not once but twice. He was fined for tampering by saying, oh, I'd love to see the unibrow on the Lakers, planting a seed that came to fruition and is now a mighty oak. So the NBA, this is according to Shams Charania of The Athletic, they're trying to crack down. Under the proposed changes, a selected team ops member. How about that? It sounds almost like military. A team ops member
from
each organization will now have to verify that their respective team did everything by the book when it comes to free agent signings.
So now there's a compliance officer in the NBA too?
I guess you could put it that way. And now NBA governors... Remember, they're not owners anymore. NBA governors must personally, the owner, must personally certify that every contract complies with all established rules. So that's why these owners, some of them are absentee owners like Chris Cohan was. Some of them are hands-on like Joe Lacob. But whoever it is, they're going to have to say, sir, you need to sign off on this.
Is everything legit? I better not get into trouble.
The ones who are not paying attention anyway.
Can we go back to the governors slash owners thing?
Yes, the semantics and...
Okay, so governor, when you hear this guy was a governor, what do you think of? You think he was the governor of state, right?
Jerry Brown.
Okay, did he own California?
No, we know what this is about.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
It's an overreaction.
Yes, but this is the world in which we live. Yes. And as I said, someday the Masters will have to change its name. It'll have to change.
Hey, somebody is trying to top your Tommy Call toll free.
Oh, what is it?
It should be toll free Tommy. Shorten it up.
Yeah, but the whole thing that makes it catch is call.
I know, but the toll free Tommy that incorporates the call, right? You don't even have to say it. You just don't like it because somebody topped it.
Why don't you really make it millennial and call it troll free Tommy?
All right. Somebody else, by the way, just Googled all of your faces. Hands down, Anna Kakarakis takes the cake. Great smile for TV or movies.
Well, I would hope so. By the way, Rick, isn't it a total jerk move not to give the C back to Thornton? No, I don't think so. By the way, the Sharks, a couple days ago, named Logan Couture the captain, something that we saw coming now that Pavelski is a matter.
15 alternate captains?
Four A's. There'll be four. And I think one of the more surprising ones was Tomas Hertl got one, so bully for him. But Cooch, I mean, he led the NHL in scoring last year in the playoffs, and they didn't even make it to the finals. This is Logan Couture's time. This is time for Cooch.
Hold his
to
hurdle.
Step up. Tomas Hurdle?
Mm-hmm.
What is he, like 25 now?
Isn't that just kind of, okay, we're going to recognize the youngster with the most leadership qualities and
he did step up. He really did. But this is more from Sharania. He says, quote, in an effort to prevent tampering, NBA sent memos to teams about improving their compliance. Memo proposes that a lead team ops member certify annually that it didn't engage in impermissible free agency talks. Max fine amounts raise significantly. Further proposed rules as NBA works to crack down on tampering, increased enforcement of existing rules prohibiting player-to-player tampering, requiring team governor to certify no unauthorized benefits or offered slash provided, investigatory audits of 5 teams annually at random. You can get picked that way. Sort of like maybe if you're Eric Reed, you can get randomly checked for drugs every 5 minutes. Remember that last year?
Yeah.
You're going to kneel? We're going to check you for drugs. I'm clean. Yeah, I'm already clean. Yeah, but that was yesterday. That was so embarrassing.
So obvious what they're doing, too.
But Sharani concludes, as part of the new potential guidelines, NBA owners must personally certify that every contract complies with all rules. Per sources, teams would be required to report within 24 hours of a player agent soliciting unauthorized benefits or contact regarding contract members. So what's this, end quote, what this means, Michael Urban, is that the team fines will double. The fine right now for tampering is $5 million.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.